I just listened to my interview with Beth Baker, and we have some representatives from communities that are similar to the ones she talked about that are in New Mexico, including co-housing and villages. So on the phone, we have Dick Roth. Dick, you are with the Commons on Alameda in Santa Fe, a co-housing community. Is that correct?
That's right.
And then I'll just you all introduce yourselves. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Trish Comer. I'm the founder and director of the North Campus Community Project here in Albuquerque.
I'm Joyce Thompson, founder of Placidas Sage Co-Housing, a senior co-housing community in Placidas, New Mexico.
Great. And Chris?
I'm Chris Wentz. I'm the current president of Village in the Village in Corrales, New Mexico.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for joining us. I want to start with the Villages model. Chris, talk a little bit about when you started and just give us a summary of what this is. What does it look like?
Really, what the Village is it's really a group of neighbors helping neighbors is what it boils down to. And we started about 4 years ago out in Corrales. It was a group of friends and neighbors who all agreed that we'd need some help at some time sooner or later. And so we created this Village, which is part of a national movement. And what we are is we're an all-volunteer nonprofit. And we are there to serve Corrales seniors to live independent lives and remain connected to the community. And we do that by providing them various services.
Now, does that mean you have to sign up, be a member of this organization?
That's correct. We have two levels of membership, associates who are those that are not yet ready to join but want to help develop the organization. And then we have full members who get to avail themselves of all of the services that the Village offers.
And what is the membership dues usually?
The membership for individual associate is $200 per year, and for a household is $250 a year. And then for full membership, it's $400 per year and $500 for a household.
And how many members do you have right now?
Well, we just launched in November, and we're up to almost 80 members already. We really started the campaign, public outreach campaign, last April about this time. So it's been about a year, but we're pretty happy with the progress so far.
What are the different services you're offering to people?
One of the big ones is transportation. That's been mentioned. Out in Corrales, we don't have any public transportation. And some of the other services are help with everyday chores. If you need to change batteries in a smoke detector, change light bulbs up on a real high ceiling, things like that. And then we're going to offer a list of vetted contractors. So if you need a plumber, you need a electrician, somebody like that, somebody to work in your yard, we put those through background checks and make sure that we're only sending out real safe, reliable people out to the members.
Trish, you guys are forming something like this in the North Golf Course area near UNM?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Is it similar? I mean, have you just started? Is it similar in scope to this one? Talk about
it. It's very similar to the Village in the Village in Corrales. However, we're a little different. So we're an intergenerational project. So we help our neighbors become more compassionate, more understanding, more willing and able to help the other neighbors. So a part of what we do is that we also reach out besides the elders in the community, but we reach out to the ones that have limited mobility or long-term health challenges. So what we're really doing is building a community, because we also have like a community garden. We have several little free library boxes that are stationed throughout the neighborhood to promote literacy and to get our children more involved. And our children are always welcome. So we are a very intergenerational project.
And is it a membership structure sort of like the Village?
No, it's not actually. We're trying very hard not to charge. Because some of our folks in the neighborhood, you know, are in very limited incomes. And I do know, since we are a part of the village-to-village model, the national, you know, organization, we still separate ourselves apart a little bit in that realm, too. There are a handful of us out there that don't charge. But we are trying to keep it an all-donation project and searching for grants, et cetera, et cetera.
So you rely on a core of volunteers to sort of coordinate incoming requests for assistance and
absolutely
sending people out.
Absolutely. Okay. And but we do provide the same services that Chris is talking about in Corrales. you know, as far as transportation to and from the doctor, the grocery store, light household chores, you know, whatever, you know, that they need.
Why did you want to start getting involved in this now?
Well, there are several reasons that I got involved in this. One of them being that I used to live with my husband and children in the rural part of Western North Carolina. And when one of our neighbors got really sick and couldn't work and didn't have insurance, one of the other neighbors came with a stack of bills to our dining room table, laid them out, put them out there in front of them, and said, okay, we all need to take a bill. I, you know, coming from Chicago originally, I was like, oh my gosh. But the whole idea is that we took care of the neighbor. I mean, and without even batting an eye. And I thought that always left a lasting impression in my mind. And the second reason is that my father had open heart surgery back in Chicago several years ago. I had to travel back there knowing that my sister, his full-time caretaker / full-time worker in a school, you know, was going to have her hands full. So I sat there day after day, you know, trying to line up services and so on and so forth, and they just were not existent. So on my way back to the airport, I said, I'm committing myself to figuring out a way to help other people who were in my position and other elders who were in their position.
And, Dick, I want to go back to you on the phone there. The model that Trish is talking about it's multi-generational, and the comments on Alameda is as well. Now, this is a little more structured. You're in a co-housing community, which means you all have chosen to buy homes and live together in a community.
That's right. I mean, the way things have kind of developed is that everybody has lots of connections out in the larger community in addition to our friends and our extended family here.
Has it been a way for people who perhaps have children and need an extended family around, but or people who don't have children and would like to be around children, sort of blend those kinds of desires or needs?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've had, I think, 7 home births here in the community of babies, and we've made some special arrangements for alleviating responsibilities of young moms. And there is a lot of availability of help with children in the community. There's a give and take among, the people with children and some of those without.
And do you take new members, or is it come and go, I guess, as people leave or sell out of the community? I mean, it sounds like you've had some inflow and outflow.
Right. It's just as people decide to move for either for job reasons or for whatever reasons, houses might come on the market. And there are some people, there are some rental availabilities, too.
Okay. Now, Joyce, you are forming a co-housing community.
We are working at it. We've been working at it for about 2 years now.
In Placidus?
In Placidus. We discovered that there were people who, lots of the homes in Placidus are very large homes on large lots. And as people were aging, they were not able to maintain those homes, and they were moving away very reluctantly because they really loved Placidus and wanted to stay in Placidus. And so the idea of creating a co-housing community, a senior co-housing community where people could stay, where they could have their own home, but in a smaller setting, in a close-knit community. So we're looking at building 15 to 20 homes, ranging from 800 to 1,200 square feet, and a common house where we intend to have guest rooms so that the people won't have to have their, when their family come to visit, they can stay in the guest room in the common house. They don't have to stay in their own little home. And we also are thinking about having a studio apartment that we can either rent out or provide for a caregiver so that some of the people in the community who need that kind of care can have a caregiver there.
So you're specifically thinking of having people who are older all coming together rather than necessarily multi-generational.
Right. We're definitely a senior community. We have not set age limits, but we're thinking in terms of 50 and up. And all of our members now, we have 10 members now, and they're 50 and up.
So they'll all cash out of their homes to buy into this community?
Right.
Is that
they're
how you'll finance?
Right. They're all planning to sell their homes and buy a home in the community. And when they buy their own home, it will also include a share of the common house. And we're looking at a property with 7 acres. So a good part of that will be open space, wildlife corridor, and so forth. So,
How far away do you think you are from breaking ground or starting?
Probably close to a year.
Are you looking for more members?
We are looking for more members. Mm-hmm. We have done our marketing so far primarily in Placidas, and we're planning to broaden that into the Albuquerque and Santa Fe communities. And actually, we have one of our members lives in Phoenix. We have another person who's recently come and visited from Massachusetts and is very interested. And I'm going with another one of our members to the National Co-Housing Conference in Durham, North Carolina, at the end of May, and we hope to make some contacts there.
And I know there are other co-housing communities around the state that she mentions in her book, but you can also find on the what's the organization?
The Co-Housing. Cohousing.org is the national organization, and it has a directory of cohousing communities throughout the country. There are about 200 now, and there are, I think there are about 10 senior communities at this point.
I really appreciate you coming and talking to me. Is there anything else that you all would like to add that I haven't touched on? Go ahead, Trish.
Yes, I would, actually. Right now, I should say, New Mexico is ranked number 39th in the nation for folks that are 65 and older. By 2030, which is only 15 years away, we're going to be ranked 4th in the nation. It's a huge demographics switch and a shift. The whole purpose of raising this awareness is because the questions that have to be really asked is, how are we going to afford to continue the support of the city services when the revenues are going to be shrinking? More people will be retiring. More people will be needing services. There's a whole group of questions that come off of this. And this is how I always start off by asking is, where do you see yourself in 15 years? Are you going to be retiring easily enough? Are you going to be able to afford to retire?
Well, as I told Beth in our interview, you guys are all baby boomer generation or older, and you know, you keep hearing about your demographic wave throughout society changing things. So I'm counting on you all to figure this out before I hit retirement age, which ain't that far away.
I'm at 77, and we are thinking about those things as
daily.
Part of all the other things we think about.
Well, it's clear that you know, I have to say, I told Beth when I interviewed her that she gave me hope because I've been taking care of aging parents the last couple of years and realizing I have no children, my husband and I don't have that, and I'm like, we got to figure out some stuff and we need to get creative. So I applaud you all for getting creative with all these issues, and thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.